Let us hear from God's word today. We're reading from Genesis 24, verses 10 to 25. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram-Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside of town. It was toward evening, the time when the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was a daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please, give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beka and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night." The Lord bless the reading of this word.
Well, good morning. Time for our fireside chat. Last week, we saw Abraham sent his servant off from his homeland into what we identified earlier as the land of the Ur of the Chaldeans, to find a bride for Isaac. We've been paralleling this study with the foretelling of God's plan for the ages. As God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, and then provided a substitute at the very last, it was a foreshadowing or a type of when God sacrificed his son, but that time there was no substitute, and his son died for the sin of the world. As we continue to look at this passage as a type of God's plan for the ages, we come to the place where Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to go and find a wife for his son Isaac. So the Holy Spirit has been sent to call out a bride, the church, for his son, Jesus Christ. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the marvel of your word. And as we study, we don't even come to examine its depths. Lord God, you are a wonderful God who has treasures for us to discover and to be excited about and to share. Lord God, we pray that our time together in your word this morning might be of profit and value. Lord, may your spirit be uniquely at work this morning as we would focus on what you would have for us this day. You are a good God. Hallelujah. And we pray that we might honor you this morning as we have gathered here in this place in your name. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So first we want to focus on the servant's prayer in verses 10 to 14. Eliezer takes 10 camels with all kinds of good things and sets off. Coming to Nahor, he stops at the public well at a time when it would have been common for the women folk to come and to draw water. You know, as I was reading this and preparing this, I thought, how many of us enjoy camping during our vacations? Is there some of you? How many of you have your wives to draw the water? How times have changed. And the servant says, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing at the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so I may drink, and who answers, drink and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. Wow. Quite the prayer, isn't it? An amazing request. Not just that a total stranger would ask a young woman for a drink of water, but that she would respond in such a fashion as to water all his camels. And before he finished praying, the scripture says that Rebekah comes upon the scene. And our first picture of Rebekah is that as Rebekah was carrying a jar of water on her shoulder, and Eliezer notes her beauty. Thanks, Kaylee. Have you noticed how beautiful godly women are? Living the way of the world can be very hard on one's appearance. And maybe it's because with godly women, we don't just see their outer beauty, but we see their inner beauty as well. And coming up to the well, coming up from the well, Eliezer asked, please, let me drink a little water from your jar. And she answers, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Remember, the servant had 10 camels. And I understand each camel can drink up to 25 gallons at a time. That means that Rebekah could have hauled as much as 250 gallons of water. This, I figured this is about a 5-gallon bucket. So we're talking 50 of these for the camels. She most certainly wasn't afraid of hard work. And as Eliezer watches, he wonders, is this the one? Which seems pretty obvious. And then, well, according to protocol, when the camels had finished drinking, Eliezer gave Rebekah some gifts. A gold ring and 2 bracelets. According to the footnote in my Bible, that would have been about 4.2 ounces of gold. And I went online to punch the value of gold and how much that would be in today's market. And we're talking over $6,000 in those two items. And then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house?" And she told them, "I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Melchah, whom she bore to Nahor." Again, she said to him, "We have plenty of both straw and feed, and room to lodge in." Now, jumping back to chapter 22, we see verses 20 to 23 in Genesis that Nahor was Abraham's brother, who had 8 sons from his wife. Bethuel was the youngest son, and it says there that he was the father of Rebekah. So Rebekah was Isaac's second cousin. And Eliezer then worships the Lord in verses 26. When the man bowed low and worshiped the Lord, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth towards my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in a way to the house of my master's brother." We compare this with the instruction that Abraham had given to his servant in the early part of Genesis 24. "You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but you shall go to my country and to my relatives and find a wife for my son Isaac." And so, meeting the family, Eliezer receives a warm welcome. Starting at verse 28, "Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran outside to the man at the spring when he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist. And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, 'This is what the man said to me,' he went to the man. And behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring, and he said to him, 'Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside, since I have prepared a house and a place for the camels?' So the man entered the house. Then Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. But when the food was brought to them, the servant hits the brakes and says, 'I'm not here for a party. I'm not even here to get acquainted. I have a job to do. I have a question to ask.' And Laban says, 'Well, let's hear it.'" And Eliezer begins the story, verses 24 to 48, as to why he was there, what he was doing. He first gives a glowing report about his master Abraham in verses 34 to 36. He then explains the reason he is there, to find a wife for his master's son, in verses 37 to 41. Then he gives a unique account of the prayer that he offered. And not only the prayer that he offered, but the answer that was visible before him in Laban's sister, bringing him right to the point of the granddaughter of his master's brother, Abraham. Then he asks the question in verse 49. "So now, if you're going to deal kindly and truly with your master, with my master, tell me. And if not, let me know, that I may turn to the right hand or the left. The servant was most certainly intent on doing his master's bidding. And the answer is found in verses 50 and 51. Interesting, it's just not Laban who is now party to this, her brother, but also her dad is engaged in what's going on. Then Laban and Bethuel replied, "The matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you, bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord had spoken it." This was so obvious to everyone who was party to what was going on that God's hand was in this. And Eliezer praises the Lord in verse 52. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before God. Those of us who have experienced our children getting married know the choice that our children are making are huge. We know that it will make a significant impact on both of them for the rest of their lives. In my premarital counseling, actually, it's in an introductory meeting I have with the couple. I ask them, "Are your parents in favor of your wedding?" One couple who was asking me if I would officiate in their wedding couldn't answer that question in the affirmative. They both claimed to be believers. In fact, one of them was a faithful attender of the church. Her parents attended the church that I was pastoring. And yet they couldn't respond to that question in the affirmative. So when they couldn't say whether their parents were in favor or not, I responded that I needed to talk to them before I could commit to their wedding. For I don't know if I could ask for God's blessing on something that their parents couldn't. Being confident of God's blessing, of the choosing of one's spouse, is huge. I cannot overstate that. Being confident that this is God's choice, this is God's provision, this is God's plan for your life, is huge. But that is not all that we learn from this passage. Remember, we have been looking at this passage from the perspective of these being types in the Old Testament, pointing to a New Testament truth. We have seen how Abraham is a type of God the Father. We have seen that Isaac is a type of God the Son, Jesus Christ. And we've been looking at Eliezer as a type of the Holy Spirit. And it was mentioned last week that Rebekah is a type for the New Testament church. As Abraham sent his servant to a far country to find a bride for his wife, or I'm sorry, for a bride for his son, Isaac, so God, the Father, has sent the Holy Spirit to call out a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. But as with Rebekah, a conscious decision is required. And as this decision is made, it would change Rebekah's life. So a decision to accept Jesus Christ as Savior will change the rest of our lives. We are not taken by force. We have a free will to choose whether we will respond to the invitation that God offers to us. We can stay where we are and live in a doomed land labeled for destruction, which is actually the meaning of Ur of the Chaldeans, fire and destruction. Or we can respond to the wonderful offer and the urging of the Holy Spirit to say yes I will choose to be part of the bride of Christ and to begin our pilgrimage to a city whose maker is God. If you're unsure how to make such a decision, let me share with you very briefly. First, we need to admit that we are a sinner, that we need a Savior, that we are guilty of sin. We must believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross, taking upon himself the payment and consequences of our sin. And as we confess our sin and accept the free gift that God has given to us, that God offers to us, we ask him to come into our hearts, making him Lord and Savior of our life. I'm going to go to prayer. And if there's anyone here that would like me to lift them up before the Lord, before the throne of God, signifying that you want to take advantage of this amazing gift, I'm going to just ask you briefly to lift your hand. People will see, yes, they will. We don't need to be embarrassed about that. That means so little. In fact, they will be truly blessed as you are making this decision or showing this intent to make this decision. If you have never invited Jesus Christ into your life, oh, I would encourage you, don't waffle. Now is the day of salvation. Is there anyone? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that there is battles that go on. We see in the news that there are fights and wars and conflict. But we also know, Lord, that there is a battle of the spiritual realm. The enemy does not want to give up his own, and yet what you have done is so remarkable. You have offered us eternal life. You have offered us deliverance from separation and destruction. You offer us hope and confidence. Lord God, we pray that you might be the victor, that none in this room would go to a Christless eternity, that each and every one of us might settle this before the end of the day. For those who know you and who love you, Lord, may we recognize that we have a task. We have a responsibility. We have a great delight to take this message, this wonderful news, to a world that is, as we saw last week, sleeping. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your patience and your grace. Thank you for the knowledge of your working, what you have done. Lord God, you are a good God. We celebrate that. We praise you for it. We rejoice. May you continue to work. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you, may they have their eyes open to the wonder of your great love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing comment, if you didn't lift your hand but would have liked to have, you have not missed the opportunity that's before us. But I ask you to follow to do the following instruction. I encourage you to, those of you who want to make this decision, to pick up and read one of these booklets. Knowing God personally, it's in the back foyer on top of the material display. There's about 30 of them there. And it is a wonderful presentation of how you can know God personally. And I would encourage you to go through it and spend some time to digest it. In fact, I would even encourage you, if you were willing, to get someone whom you know is walking in relationship with the Lord and ask them to walk with you through that. It might be an elder, maybe a deacon, maybe someone who you know is a faithful attender, who knows and walks with the Lord faithfully. And allow them to walk with you. If you so make that decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would also ask you to inform Pastor Tyler or myself. We would love to rejoice with you and be able to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you say, today's not a good day, I got things to do, I didn't plan to be here any longer than 12 o'clock, I say to you, there is no more important decision you can make in your whole life than this one. Please make the time. Begin your trip to the promised land today. It's a wonderful life. Oh, not without its challenges, not without its disappointments. But there's no question, it's a wonderful life. Thank you.